So Jesus has come, and Jesus will come. And the big question is are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus' second coming, for Jesus' second advent? You see, just as Jesus' first advent, his birth in Bethlehem, was foretold by the Old Testament prophets hundreds of years before his birth, so Jesus' second advent, his second coming, is also foretold, this time by the apostles, by John, by Paul, by the angels, and even by Jesus himself. The church calls Christmas Advent, which means coming. Advent is the time of the year we look back in history and reflect on all Jesus' first coming means to us, which is good and right and important for us to do that. But we rarely consider the second part of Advent, which is the truth that Jesus is coming again. The second advent of Jesus, the day that Jesus will return, something the New Testament loudly proclaims time and time again. In fact, if you take a Bible and open it up and read the last words in the New Testament in the Bible, the last chapter includes three times when Jesus is quoted as saying, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Which raises the question, actually shouts the question, are you ready? Are you ready for the day and the moment when Jesus will come back? So let me ask you the question. Are you ready? Are you ready? And the truth is this, you can be ready. In fact, Jesus wants us all to be ready for his second advent, for his second coming. And how do we get ready for that day and for that moment? Well, what we can do is look at the first coming of Jesus. And believe it or not, in the first coming of Jesus, we see what we can do to be ready for Jesus' second coming. We can see what we need to do based on what the shepherds did and what the wise men did, how they responded to Jesus' first coming. Together, the shepherd and the wise men point out how we can prepare ourselves now for Jesus' return, for his second advent. Let's start with the shepherds. So how did the shepherds respond? How did they get ready for Jesus' coming? What did they do? Let's read their story in Luke chapter 2. This is what Luke says. Now that night, the night of Jesus' birth, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. For the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloths, in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So the shepherds hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So what did the shepherds do to prepare for Jesus? What did they do when they heard about Jesus coming? How did we look at them as a lesson for what we can do to prepare for Jesus' second advent, for his second coming? Well, here's the first thing they did. They checked out things for themselves. In other words, they left their flocks behind in the fields, and they went to Bethlehem to see if what the angel told them was true. They searched things out individually and for themselves. They investigated things for themselves. They didn't just believe it because the angels told them. No, they went and they checked it out themselves, which when you stop and think about it, is exactly what everybody here needs to do ourselves. We need to check out Jesus for ourselves, to investigate what does the Bible say about Jesus. And not just sometimes accept what other people say about Jesus or what we think in our minds about Jesus, but check out Jesus for ourselves. There's an important detail in the story about the shepherds that honestly, even though I've read and heard the story my entire life, it never stood out to me until this year. What's the detail? It's the manger. And what's the big deal about the manger? Well, the big deal about the manger is when Jesus was born. Bethlehem was overpopulated. That's why there was no room for them in the inn. Remember that part of the story? And so that's why Mary gave birth to Jesus in a stable behind an inn where there are animals that were kept. There was no room in the inn. And what's the big deal about that? Well, the detail is that they put the baby then, Joseph and Mary, put the baby Jesus into the manger. Now think about this with me. Were Joseph and Mary the only young couple with an infant in Bethlehem that day, that night? Most likely not. Most likely there were probably other couples with a young infant and a young child that also was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But there was only one child in all of Bethlehem that was wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals, and that was Jesus the Messiah, the promised one. The manger is what set Jesus apart from other infants in Bethlehem that night. The manger was the sign that the shepherds were told what to look for. And when the shepherds found Jesus, it was just as they were told it would be. Everything was exactly what they said it was going to be. Every detail. And the shepherds then were the first to see Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Messiah and the Lord. And friends, we all need to do exactly what the shepherds did. We all need to investigate Jesus for ourselves to see if what we've been told about Jesus and by others, or we think about Jesus, is true and right. And how do we do that? How do we investigate Jesus for ourselves? Well, there's a couple simple things that we all can do, every one of us. The first is to read the Bible. Read what the Bible says about Jesus. And as you read the Bible, say, Jesus, if this is true, then help me understand this. Speak to me through the Bible, through this word. I want to learn about you. Do that and see what happens. If you don't have a Bible, we have one back at the Connect Point right as you go out the door back into the parking lot. You can pick up a Bible there. Take one. It's a gift from us to you. Here's another thing you can do. You can read a book called Who is This Man? And we've got that even wrapped up with a little gift of Hy-Vee holiday bread for you. So you can pick this up also at the Connect Point as well. This book, Who is This Man, is one of the best books I've ever read about who Jesus is. Why is it that after 2,000 years after he lived, why is the whole world still talking about Jesus? Why is this man, does it not go away? What influence does Jesus Christ have in the world? So take that as our gift to you as well. There's something else you can do as well, and that is we do something here at Northwood called Alpha. We've done it three times. Over 125 people have gone through it. Worldwide, over 40 million people have gone through an Alpha course. And the purpose of Alpha is to explain who Jesus is and what he came to do. It's a place where people encounter Jesus Christ. So think about that as well. All these ways, friends, are ways to check out who Jesus is, just like the shepherds did. So do what the shepherds did. Investigate Jesus for yourself. Why? Because the promise, the prophecy, that Jesus is coming back and he wants you to be prepared for his return. The shepherds did one more thing that night after investigating Jesus. And what did they do? Well, do you remember the story, what I read a moment ago? It's back there in Luke 2, verses 16 through 18. Here's what it says. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. What did the shepherds do after they had investigated for themselves what the angel had told them? They went and they told everyone what they had seen, what they had heard. And you know, whenever we get good news or we receive something which impacts our life and changes our life in a positive way, what do we do with that? We don't keep that to ourselves, do we? We share that information, we share that experience with other people, say, hey, did you hear? Or I need to tell you something that happened to me that just really has changed my life or impacted my life. So either later tonight or maybe tomorrow morning, you're going to open gifts given to you by your loved ones, by your family and friends. And some of those gifts are going to be exactly what it is you hope for, what it is you need. And so you're going to tell others in the next couple of weeks, hey, look what somebody gave me. This is exactly what I needed. I'm so excited I received this gift at Christmas. It was about a month or so ago that our daughter Kara was with us, and she had her iPhone with her, and she started to take some pictures of a check that was right there on the counter. And I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, oh, I'm depositing my check. I said, what? She said, I'm depositing my check in the bank. And I said, you can do that this way? She said, yes, all you need to do, Dad, is download the U.S. Bank app and you can start doing that. So guess what I did? I downloaded the free app and now I deposit checks that way. And it's changed my life. It truly has. I was in the U.S. Bank this last week and they had a little sign right there that said, if you go to mobile banking, it will save you 26 hours and 19 minutes a year in your life. It'll give you back an entire day. I have one more day in my life because I have the U.S. Bank app. So I've been an evangelist telling people about this for the past month. Several people have told me, well, I haven't been to a bank in 2 years, Brian. You're kind of late to the party. And you know what they say, better late than never. That's exactly right. So the shepherds in Jesus' first advent, his first coming, shows how to prepare for Jesus' second advent, his second coming. Investigate it to see if it's true and then tell others about Jesus. The same thing is true, friends, for the Magi, for the wise men in the Christmas story. Matthew's gospel tells us about them. In chapter 2 of Matthew, it's written, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, so where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. So Herod called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. I always find the wise men, the Magi, a fascinating part of the Christmas story, and I think there's lots of unanswered questions about them. Like, for instance, how many were there? Now, we say there were three. Why? Because we've sung the Christmas carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are, for years and years and years. And also because, well, there's three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so a person can only bring one gift at a time, so it's got to be the three wise men. The truth is the Bible doesn't tell us there were three wise men. The Bible says simply there were some wise men from where? From the east. So where'd they come from? We don't exactly know where they came from. We anticipate or we believe that they came from Iran, modern-day Iran, and modern-day Iraq. Why there? Because there are ancient religions in those countries at that time that believe that God spoke through the stars, that stars in the sky gave messages that were important for life. And one of those messages was that a Messiah would be born of a virgin. So they were looking for that prophecy in the stars, that word in the stars, that message in the stars. Here's something I learned this last week about the stars and the wise men, which really was an amazing thing. Historians and scientists say that in 7 BC, Jupiter, Saturn, and Earth came together in a conjunction of stars so rare that it's only happened twice since then. And the alignment of those planets lit up the night skies. And shortly after that, Jupiter came in conjunction with Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation Leo. So could all this just been a coincidence? Could this also, though, be the star that led the wise men to Jerusalem? I think it is. I think what's most important, though, to step back and understand is this, that God was speaking to the wise men in a language that they understood. He was giving them a message which made sense to them. And I'm convinced this, that God does the same thing for every one of us, that God speaks to you in a language which fits you, which you can understand. God speaks to me in a language that I can understand. He comes to every one of us and speaks to us in a way that we can hear him. The question is not, is God speaking to us? The question is are we listening? Are we listening? Are we open to what God is saying to us? So because of the stars, the wise men left their home and their country and traveled 1,200 miles from Persia to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews because they wanted to worship him. And amazingly, when they arrived in Jerusalem, the religious leaders of Herod's court, the ones who had the biblical prophecies about the coming of Messiah, the ones who knew where he was going to be born, they wouldn't travel 5.5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to investigate what those wise men had traveled 1,200 miles to investigate. You see the difference in the response? Those who knew the prophecies and had Old Testament scriptures were indifferent and uninterested in what the wise men and what the wise men were coming to see. Had they come 1,200 miles to see the newborn king of the Jews? The religious leaders of Herod's court show us how not to prepare for Jesus' coming, his first and his second coming. And that is with indifference and ignoring it and being uninterested in it. The wise men, the ones who are guided by the stars and not the scriptures, show us how to prepare for Jesus' coming, both his first and second coming. And what did they do that we should do? Seek Jesus. Look for Jesus. Come to Jesus and worship him and bow to him. Acknowledge Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, the Lord of all, our Savior from sin. See, the Bible, friends, says that Jesus is coming back. It's a prophecy throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testaments. The Bible also tells us there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee and every tongue. And the next time that Jesus comes to earth, it won't be as a cuddly infant in a manger. It will be as a conquering king. And the Bible tells us the best time to confess Jesus is Lord is in this life. It's in the life that we have now, in between these two comings of Jesus Christ. The best time to confess Jesus is Lord is now. Is now. Because if we do that now, then God promises us heaven when we die and fills us with his life now. So let me say it one more time, friends. Jesus has come. That's a fact of history. And Jesus will come. That's a fact of future history that will become history. Jesus has come. Jesus will come. And the big question is are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus' return? Maybe the way to sort of do a self-check on that is to answer these quick questions. Does the thought of Jesus' return make you anxious? Make you scared? Fearful? If it does, then perhaps you're not ready for Jesus' return. You're not prepared for that. But on the other hand, if the thought of Jesus' return brings you joy, anticipation, cause you to worship, does it make Christmas more Christmassy? If that's the case, then you're ready for Jesus' return. Jesus wants us all to be prepared and ready for his second coming, his second advent. So may we, this Christmas, be like the shepherds. Investigate if we've got questions that need answers. May we be like the wise men, and may we worship him now. May we bow our knee in this life because of the life that is yet to come. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you again for the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord Jesus, again for coming, for what that means for us, for the life that you give to us now, that you forgive us our sin, that you come and fill us with purpose and joy, that you give to us a future, and that you promise to bring us home to heaven when we die. So may we all be ready, Lord Jesus, for you, for when you come back again, as we live in between the first and the second coming, may we be prepared now, this day, this Christmas, for your coming back. For as you said in Revelation, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. May we be prepared for that moment. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.